The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about soul writing, conversing with your higher self, with return guest to Guys Guys Radio, Joanne DiMaggio. I think you're really going to enjoy our conversation, an update version of her book. Do you have lingering questions about your life for which you can't find answers? Are you looking for that spiritual aha moment to give you a deeper understanding of what's really going on? You can get those answers and more through soul writing, a form of sacred writing that is the subject of the newly revised book, Soul Writing, Conversing with Your Higher Self by Joanne DiMaggio. You know, simply stated, soul writing is a written form of meditation, a source of inspiration available to the seeker 24/7. The technique is designed to access that deep knowing each soul holds within. Special talents or skills are not needed, as it is the birthright of every soul to communicate with that still small voice within and click on that personalized spiritual GPS system instilled within. You know, this book was originally published back in 2011 under the same title, but the second edition contains new research that Joanne has uncovered in the convening years, as well as two new chapters, Soul Writing for Children and Soul Writing for Practitioners. Joanne is a longtime student of the famed psychic Edgar Cayce, who did extensive readings on the subject of inspired writing, and pulling from Joanne's nearly 40 years of experience as a past life researcher and soul writing expert, Joanne inspires readers to reach into a higher consciousness to extract whatever information they seek through the written word. So it's really a form of meditation where you connect with your higher self, which connects with spirit guides, which connects with source, and gives you the answers to your questions. It goes right down through your brain, through your consciousness, through your hand, and you start writing out the answers. It's really a fascinating and pretty easy to do process, but once again, like everything else, you gotta be in it to win it. You gotta practice, and we're gonna learn all about that and more from our special guest, Joanne DiMaggio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A CogniMovement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the CogniMovement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, guys, radio. It is the interview portion of our show, and today's guest is being welcomed back to Guys Radio. She's been with us a number of times, and she's got a updated version of her classic book, Soul Writing: Conversations with Your Higher Self. Let me tell you a little bit about Joanne DiMaggio. She is a regression therapist, spiritual teacher, award-winning author, and an MA and a CHT. She's been guiding clients through past life regression, soul explorations for more than three decades, and she's author of many insightful books. And today we're going to dive into the updated version of her groundbreaking work, Soul Writing, a Practical Guide to Accessing the Wisdom of Your Higher Self through a Powerful and Accessible Writing Technique. Welcome back to Guys Radio, Joanne DiMaggio.
Hi there. So glad to be back with you.
Oh, thank you. We love having you back here on Guys Radio. So I guess for folks who are not familiar with your work or you, and there might be a couple of those, you never know, but let's start with what drew you to past life regression therapy and soul-focused work?
I would say that would be, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I had a lot of questions. I was seeking answers. And when I was a teenager, I started reading books about Edgar Cayce, books that were written by Ruth Montgomery, Jess Stern. And then in 1987, when Shirley MacLaine's Out on a Limb came out, it was like my big wake-up call. I was always interested in esoteric studies, but that really put me on the road to becoming a past life researcher and therapist and doing a lot of case studies and then writing about them. But the soul writing came a lot earlier than that. It came actually when I was a child. I stumbled on it. I used it again in college, didn't realize what I was even doing. And then I decided when I got my master's that that would be my thesis. And so I took a deep dive into it at that point.
Wow, amazing. So exactly what is soul writing? Because sometimes people get it confused with automatic writing and it's very different.
It's very different, right? Well, if you think of prayer as you talking to God and meditation as God talking to you, then soul writing is you taking notes. So basically, it's a written form of meditation. And it differs from automatic writing in a lot of different ways. But mostly with soul writing, the information is coming from above, from a divine source, coming through you, through your soul, out your hand and onto the paper. With automatic writing, there's often a tendency for it coming from low-level influences, you might say, who, and there's always the concern about possession with it. So they are different. I outline the differences at some extent in my book.
And here's the book once again, Soul Writing, Conversing with Your Higher Self. So how do you define the higher self and how can we connect with it? Because a lot of people are interested in that, but a lot of people are also not sure what the higher self is and then how they can get in touch with it and use it.
Well, your higher self is your divine connection to the creative forces, which that's the term Edgar Cayce used to describe God. And so you could look at it as your soul talking to you. You could look at it as your spirit guides talking to you, an angel talking to you, or God, him or herself talking to you. It depends on what you're comfortable with. But it is that higher part of you, that higher part that's connected to the all that is.
And how should somebody, if somebody wants to connect to their higher self, is there any preparation we need to do that? Is there a special time of day or special circumstances that would have you connect with your higher self? And what type of questions would you typically ask?
Well, we have to do it through meditation, obviously. So whatever your meditation practice is, whatever, I have a whole list of how to establish a writing ritual. And some of them you need to do every single time, and that is to do the meditation, to put yourself in this altered state of consciousness, and then to always say a prayer of protection, surround yourself with white light. And then just make your questions known to spirit. You can either write them down or say them in your head as a mental mantra, and then wait for the answer to come in writing. And it always does.
Now, when you're doing that, I guess a lot of folks are wondering, is that spirit? Is that my higher self connecting me to spirit? Is this just my nervous monkey chatter mind? And how does someone kind of differentiate that? How can they be sure or feel comfortable that they are getting the right information beyond, practices of a grounding and divine guide's white light of protection, but actually when they're getting the information to be able to be in a position to trust it, what should people do?
Well, you can tell it's different because of the tone, the cadence, and the profound level of information you're getting. So it's I just taught a class this weekend through Edgar Cayce's ARE, and people were just so taken aback. They were surprised. They had questions about their different parts of their life that had been on their mind for years and years, and they couldn't get any kind of clarification. They didn't really know, and they didn't know where to go to get the clarification. So I taught them how to do the soul writing, to ask the question, and then the answers that they got were something that they had never thought of before. They'd never considered it. So it does give you a whole different perspective than you usually have in a conscious state. And so the depth of the advice and guidance. Soul writing just sort of gently nudges your soul in a certain direction. The wisdom there is beyond anything that you've experienced in a conscious state. So I think that trusting, that's a big part of it. You've got to trust that where this information is coming from, and then just feel it out. How does it make you feel after you hear it? Are you uplifted? Are you empowered? Are you inspired? Or, do you feel kind of icky about it? So then you're with the wrong folks and you need to start over again. But generally, people were, at least in the courses I've taught, they're absolutely astonished at the high level of guidance that they're given through the soul writing.
And I'm guessing that, like a lot of metaphysical practices, anybody can do it. It's just a matter of you have to be consistent, and you have to do it. So, can anybody learn soul writing?
Absolutely, absolutely. Edgar Cayce said all answers lie within, and I truly believe that. For some people, it comes very, very easily. They get something the first time out. Most people do get something first time out. Some people have some blockages, and it takes them a little while to let go and not want to force the words or control the words. But most people get something on the very first time. Now, some people might get only a word or two here or there. Some people will get a phrase, and then some people will get full sentences, and others are going to get paragraph after paragraph after paragraph. But with practice, anyone can do it and be successful at it.
So, can people get this type of information beyond the actual doing the soul writing? So, you do your session, and afterwards, could things just come into your head? Maybe you're taking a shower and something comes through, and that breakthrough happened because of the soul writing practice, but fragments and epiphanies and insights may come through at various times. Is that
That's a
possible?
good
Didn't you
point.
start to open yourself up more?
Oh yeah, that's a very good point because that even happens with the regression work that I do. I tell people it doesn't end now. You've opened that door. Spirit knows you want more information. Spirit knows you've invited them in. And so you might be taking a shower, you might be watching television, you might be taking a walk. Many times on my walks, I can hear the guidance coming through. And I can differentiate between which guide is with me on that walk. I've got one who's a real comic, and he makes me laugh when I'm walking. But others will be very, very profound, very deep. But yeah, once you open that door, it doesn't really end. And it's not intrusive. I don't want anybody to think they're going to get bombarded all the time. It'll come through when you need it because you're never alone. That's the beautiful part about soul writing. People, when I've asked people at the end of the course, what was the biggest thing you got out of this? They say, it's that I'm not alone, that I've got guidance available to me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I just need to knock on spirit's door and somebody's always home.
Amazing. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio, return guest, Joanne DiMaggio, writer extraordinaire. This one's soul writing, her kind of seminal book, Conversations with Your Higher Self. So you mentioned a certain guide might come through when you're taking a walk. That begs the question, how many of these guides do we have? And can we ask for guidance from specific collectives or specific beings or from angels, or how does that work? Who are we getting in touch with?
It's up to each individual. Each individual is different. I have 9 different energies that I work with that I know of. And the reason you know that they're different is because their tone is a little different when you're getting information from them. Most people just have the one that comes through, and one of the ways I tell people to differentiate between soul writing and automatic writing is that with soul writing, they're writing in the plural, we. So we are with you always. We are with you in love and in light. So you get the collective consciousness that way. With automatic writing, it's usually the ego-based I. I am here. I am telling you what to do, you know, and they direct and impel you and command you to do things. And that's where you get into trouble with it. So it can be any number of guides at any given time. It depends on where you are in your spiritual evolution and what's the question that you're asking. Because the more profound the question, the more profound the answer. The sillier the question, the sillier will be the answer. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on where you are.
Okay. So you touched earlier a little bit about how you do it, and you have a kind of an A through K system that's been outlined, starting with, you know, find a sacred place, setting the stage, all the way up to keeping your writing safe. So could you talk to us a little bit about those key guidelines that you need to follow to be able to get into yourself, into the zone, so you can soul write successfully?
Sure. Most of them you only have to do one time. In other words, the find a sacred place, you know, right. Everybody has a place in their home where they do their spiritual work, and that's where they feel most comfortable. That's where they're not interrupted. It's quiet. It's peaceful. There's privacy. That's the first thing. Setting the stage simply means that you do have things around you that remind you of your spiritual journey, things like candles or bells or totems, anything like that, that may help you to get into that deeper spiritual state. Casey talks about doing it the same time in the same place. That's for beginners. If you set a date with spirit, say, hey, at 9:30 every night, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write. And spirit goes, okay, I'll show up at 9:30. But after you do it for a while, you'll be able to do it anytime, and in any place. The pen versus the keyboard, that's another question people ask. Should I do it by hand or can I do it on a keyboard? You can do it on a keyboard. The only problem is your eyes are usually half closed when you're doing this because you're connecting with spirit. And if you open your eyes fully, you may break that connection. And if you're at a keyboard, if you shift over just a little bit, you won't be able to read anything that you've typed. So what I do is I always do it by hand, and it feels different by hand. You know, you can feel the energy going through your arm. And I love the flow of the ink on the paper. So I do it by hand, then I transfer it to the computer. But there have been writers like Julia Cameron, Ruth Montgomery, they do it exclusively, you know, at the keyboard. Meditation is a key part of it. So you always have to do that. Always say that prayer of protection. And then focus on a question. You can ask a specific question, or you can ask for something for your highest and best. Then just get ready to write. Just put the pen over the paper. Keep it poised. I tell people it would be best if you started with loops, L's and E's, because out of that will come a word. And then just allow the message to proceed. Don't edit it. This drives my teacher clients crazy because they want to dot their I's and cross their T's. This is stream of consciousness writing. Mm-hmm. So it sometimes doesn't stop. It just keeps going. Sometimes it's good to wait until you read it. Just put it aside for a while because it'll have a whole new meaning. And then keep your writing safe, which means, you know, keep it away from prying eyes, because this is like going into a therapist's office and you're exploring ideas that are very personal to you. And if somebody picks it up, they may not understand what it is you're writing and they'll take it the wrong way. So I always say, unless it's a generic message that'll benefit all of mankind, I suggest that people keep it in a safe place. Mm-hmm. Those are basically the steps.
Perfect. So, Joanne, what is the importance of writing it down? What does that do versus like you just listen? You might say, "Spirit, I need your guidance on this or that." But what is that benefit of actually taking pen to paper and writing it down? What does that do to kick it up a notch, if you will?
Well, first of all, it slows it down. It slows down the information coming to you because you're going to take the time to write it. When I meditate, often I'm getting something really, really important, really that at that moment it seems important to me. But after a while, I forget what it was. So writing it down enables you to have a permanent recording of the guidance that you were given so that you could go back to it at any time, just date the page and then, you know, if you keep a journal or something like that. So those are the main reasons I think that would be beneficial to writing it down.
And a typical session, let's say you had one question. I know you could get 8 pages or you could get like one paragraph. Is there a randomness to this or I guess or not?
Yeah, when I was doing my class over the weekend, I gave them 10 minutes to write. And I asked them later, did you need more time than that? Most of them said no, that about 10 minutes was about all that they needed. And they got quite a bit in that 10 minutes. You don't realize how much you could write in a short amount of time. But certainly there's no timer on it. You can just write a few sentences or you can write, like you said, pages. I know Julia Cameron, when she talks about doing morning pages, she always said to do 3 pages of stream of consciousness writing, just keep going. So if spirit's very talkative that day, you know, you'll know instinctively when to stop.
What is the, when you were working with people and you're teaching them, what is the kind of the typical mistakes that they make and how can they kind of get over those?
They have expectations, I think, that they, some of them want it so badly and then they tense up. They don't want to let go. They want to control everything. They think they're making it up. So there's this doubt that kicks in. And I've had some in my class that at first they weren't getting anything. And then they told me they liked it when I did the longer induction, the longer meditation. I tried to go from the longer one to the shorter one because I was trying to teach them to do it for themselves. And they really liked the longer induction. So if you have a meditation practice that you use to get yourself into that altered state, definitely take your time with that. You know, some people can just sit down, close their eyes, surround themselves with white light, say that prayer very quickly, and off they go. Others need a little bit more of an entry into it.
Mm-hmm. And applications, I guess, for people, what's the different ways? I know you've listed kind of past life exploration, enhancing psychic abilities, guidance on specific topics. Could you talk to us a little bit about applications so people know what they kind of get out of it and how to use it in their day-to-day lives?
Sure. Well, yeah, the ones that you mentioned, certainly you can, if you feel like you have a psychic ability of some sort, or you have a question about, you know, how can I read auras or how can I communicate with animals or something like that? You can get guidance and instruction directly from spirit on that question. I use it for past life exploration. I always include it at the end of a regression session because what that does is it either gives them the backstory or it gives them additional information that they didn't get in the regression. Or it'll give them guidance because many times after a regression, people will say, well, this is all well and good, Joanne, but what do I do with this information? Mm-hmm. And so the soul writing will give them the guidance and how to apply it to the here and now. Guidance on specific topics would be, you know, from spirit's perspective, what is the meaning of forgiveness or what is the meaning of gratitude? Those kinds of things. You can use it in various art forms. Many, many famous authors and musicians, composers have used the same process of soul writing, but they use the process maybe to compose. You know, when I did my book about the Beatles, you know, I discovered that both John Lennon and Paul McCartney used a form of of the same process that I teach in soul writing. So there's that part of it. You can use it to explore really deep philosophical ideas that you want. Like I said, you could go from very serious to very silly. It doesn't really matter. You could use it for psychoanalysis and healing. I have a lot of people, when I did my book about Karma Can Be a Real Pain, which was about tracing chronic illnesses in this life to a past life, we included the soul writing because in the soul writing sometimes would come the true reason why they were dealing with this in the here and now. And then that in and of itself was very healing. And we had really good results for that. You could use it for soul's growth if just, asking spirit, where am I right now in this journey? And I've added two new chapters to the book. One is soul writing for children and soul writing for practitioners. I've long wanted to see if I could figure out how to teach children this method. When I was thinking about it, I said to Spirit, "I don't have a clue how to do this for kids." And so they will help you with it. And they ended up writing it for me. So that's in that new chapter. And the same thing with soul writing for practitioners. That's all written from the point of view of Spirit, telling practitioners what to be careful of in their practices. Yeah. So that's about it. You could use it also in service to others, by the way. If you are a practitioner, you can use it to you could do what I call the companion mode of healing, which you get a message on behalf of somebody else as long as you have their permission. So I teach that as well.
Talk to us a little bit, Joanne, about the soul writing for children. So many kids nowadays is a lot more, ADHD and autism and kids on the spectrum and all of that. It's just the statistics are there.
Yeah.
Can soul writing be something that allows them to kind of cut through and be able to express themselves more easily?
Yeah, I think a lot of children don't really even know what the soul is. So you'd have to sort of start there. And but they have very, very vivid imaginations and if you encourage them to just write whatever is coming to them, and just teach them that stream of consciousness writing where they're not worried about, oh, I spelled this word wrong, or I didn't get the punctuation right, or whatever their language arts teachers are impressing on them. You just want them to see what comes, ask for a story or think about your favorite toy or your favorite character, and write a story around it, and you would be surprised. I want to try it with my 9-year-old grandson. I haven't done that yet. I'm not sure. I'm not really feeling that, like it's hot when it's your own children. It's like, I don't know how his parents are going to take that. So I've been holding back on it, but I do want to do it with him.
Now, you had mentioned, Joanne, the past life regressions, and they can be very helpful. A lot of folks, they want to go back and just see who they were. And it's
Right.
often that they were very similar to who they are now. But what they may not realize is they may have carried some issues across lifetimes, maybe multiple lifetimes that need to be solved. And this lifetime turns into an opportunity to address those and through the past life regression. Talk to us a little bit about how that can work and the benefits there.
I usually, when I do a regression with someone, I'll ask spirit, show them the lifetime that's most impacting them right now. Because you've had many, many, many lifetimes. You're not working on the karmic issues from all of those. There's just one in particular where you had some unfinished business, and you decided in the afterlife when you were planning your next life, the life you're in now, you said, I didn't finish up on that one lesson. I'm going to finish that up when I come back. And so you design this whole life around being able to have circumstances come up that'll enable you to work on that particular issue. So it's very cathartic. When I do the regression and I do the soul writing with it, like I mentioned before, that's where they get some additional information because you can't get everything in like an hour and a half, 2 hour session. But also it's very they can learn to have a conversation with their past life self. So I tell them you could talk to the late great you through the soul writing. You can and I learned that from Frank DeMarco when he wrote his book Chasing Smallwood. That's what his that book was based on. He was having a conversation with the person he was during the Civil War. And those are fascinating because they give you the history that's going on from the perspective of a person living in that time. So you can ask, you know, if you do a regression and then you find out you were so and so in a past life in a certain period, and you're like, you know, I brought some of those issues with me into this life. I really would like to know more about that. Then you can engage in a conversation back and forth between you and who you were before. It's pretty
And
fascinating.
to take that even a step further and not to go too far off course. So people might ask themselves, okay, I can come back and I have to take care of something that I didn't resolve in the past life. And then you see somebody go by and they're a paraplegic, they're in a wheelchair or whatever. And you ask yourself, what did that person make that choice to be like that? Or what did they ask for the landscape, if you will, where they'd be in a position to learn their lesson, and it's pretty much open in terms of how that might play out.
Right, it could be karmic in that they were making up for something that they did to somebody else before. In my book, Karma Can Be a Real Pain, I had a woman who was dealing with sciatica, and turns out that in the 18th century she had deliberately maimed somebody by having them trip over a broom, and she's now injured in the same place that she had injured that other party. So that's karmic. But there's also a lot of these people that have some severe physical or emotional or mental issues. They didn't really do anything wrong. They came in as an example, and what's happening is, people around them, it's like a spirit's looking at how are you reacting to that person. So they're coming in to enable you, as the parent, maybe as a sibling or whatever role you're playing. How are you reacting to that person? How is that affecting you, and the way you respond to this person? So that's why you really can't judge anybody. You don't know. Why their life is the way that it is, but it's not always what you think it is, that's for sure.
Okay, guys radio, my return guest, the award-winning author, soul writing, conversing with your higher self, Joanne DiMaggio. And I know a lot of your work has been influenced by Edgar Cayce. And for those
Oh, yeah.
out there, the sleeping prophet, talk to us a little bit about Edgar Cayce and how what he was, why he was so important, what he did, how he lived, and why he has been such an influence and inspiration for you.
But Edgar Cayce, I do believe, was the most renowned psychic medium, seer of the 20th century. He gave 14,000 readings. He would go into a trance state. He would be asked questions. He would retrieve information from Akashic records or other sources, and then he would give this information in the reading, and his secretary would take them down. He gave, out of the 14,000 readings he did, 12,000 of those were health readings. And we are just now catching up to some of the remedies that he prescribed. I mean, he was way, way ahead of his time. And so we're still using those remedies today. 2,000 of the readings became life readings. And this was something that shook him up a little bit because he was devoutly Christian and read the Bible every year for his entire life. And so when he started getting stuff about reincarnation, he's like, whoa, wait a minute, what is this? But it took him a couple of weeks to get comfortable with it. And after that, that's when he started telling people about their past lives. So within a reading, he would tell them, maybe give them up to four lifetimes that they had, and what happened then that's influencing them now. But he founded the Association for Research and Enlightenment, as well as Atlantic University. That's where I got my master's degree. And to this day, it is thriving in Virginia Beach. And anybody interested in Cayce, you could go to edgarcayce.org and learn more about it through their website. But no, there's been nobody like him since
Yeah,
him.
that was going to be my next question, but
Yeah, yeah.
so tell us about some of the things that that he taught that would be surprises that people weren't aware of. And that we can, the audience can apply to their lives. What did he teach that we need to know?
Well, There's so much. All of them, like I said, all of the medical readings he did, there's gems in there. He taught about Atlantis, and how so many souls have come back. They're in the United States now. Like, I think, I don't know, I had, Casey didn't say this, but I had heard that about 95% of Americans are former Atlanteans. And considering what's going on in the world today, this is a little scary for me at least. But there's so many. I can't think of one in particular, but he talked about the importance of helping others, and he talked a lot about past lives, that you reap what you sow. The whole thing about karma, he talked a great length about that. So the language is a little difficult for people to understand. So I would encourage people to read books and that where people are sort of translating it into more common language, so that you could pick up on it. But there's so much out there that it's the enormity of his work is just
And
incredible.
did a lot of work with diet too, right?
Absolutely, yes. He talked a lot about
Surprises
diet.
there. If you could share some of his tips. I remember one when I read one of his books on diet, and it was that you eat baked apples versus raw apples. And I was like, interesting.
He talked about how to mix the foods a lot, and I this is not my area of expertise, so forgive me if I'm not able to get into any detail about that. I know the whole thing about bacon was, to me, was interesting. He talked about not eating bacon, and when I did my research on the book with TJ Davis, who Casey was a little boy who lived with the Caseys for 8 years, and Casey had said he was the reincarnation of Thomas Jefferson. And TJ told me, he said, yeah, he said, sometimes we'd get up at 4 in the morning, we'd go fishing, and he said he would fry bacon and bring bacon out to the pier. So he thought that was really, really interesting. Yeah. But, yeah, he talked about so many different things, and glycothymoline, for instance. I use that. He prescribed that to a lot of people. It's a mouthwash, but I swear to you, if you use that, if you gargle with it, if you have a sore throat, it just takes it away
What is
instantly.
he?
At least it does for
What is he
me.
use? What would that be?
Glycothymoline, it's called.
Glycothymoline. What is it?
Glycothymoline. Yeah, and
Glycothymoline.
you could get that through Bar products, bar.com, BAAR. They sell a lot of the Casey remedies, and I know my husband buys a lot of the Casey remedies, a lot of the Casey products that are still made exactly the way Casey said. So, look into that. You'll find something that you can apply.
Okay, how about for yourself, Joanne? You've been doing this for how long have you been doing soul writing? It sounds like since you were a child, but and how has that process evolved, and how have you evolved as a result of that process?
Well, when I first started doing I didn't even know what it was, and I thought I was doing automatic writing because that's the term most people are familiar with. And I got into trouble, by the way, doing that. That's why I speak about the dangers of it now. But I have used it basically as a guide, as a in my life. I don't always pay attention. I don't always listen like anybody else. I'm human, right? But sometimes it'll give me the guidance that I need to stay on track. Like my ideal, Casey talks about an ideal, which is the highest level that you attain, your soul attains to in any given life. Mine is to inspire and empower through the written word. If I make a decision to do something that isn't in alignment with that, I hear about it from my friends upstairs. So they keep me on course. And I know when I had a diagnosis, a pretty serious diagnosis a few years ago, I didn't quite know what to make out of it. And they basically told me, "Don't worry, you're going to be fine." But now is the time for you to really seriously think about giving up some of the things that you're doing and focus only on the writing. And that's what I did. And I'm fine now, absolutely. And I think I'm more prolific now than I've ever been.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
A lot of folks, when they either do a past life regression or something like soul writing or meet with somebody who has your gifts, they want to contact past loved ones.
Yeah.
And can you do that through soul writing?
You absolutely can. Yeah, because it is a form of channeling. So that's one of the when we talked about enhancing your psychic abilities, that falls in that category where you can, contact, have a conversation through the writing, ask your spirit guides to initiate that for you, and you can do it. I've never done that. That's not my cup of tea, but it can be done, definitely.
So overall, what do you want people to get out of not just the book soul writing, but the process of soul writing to benefit their day-to-day lives?
That any, like I said, anybody can do it, and just take the time, make cut out 10, 15 minutes in your day, and check in with spirit. And any question you have, any question at all, it doesn't matter what it is. If you can't get an answer from your therapist, your minister, your family, whatever, check in with spirit. They're always there. They're like at a, you never watch a telethon where they're all sitting there and they're all waiting for the phone to ring. That's how I picture our spirit guides, that they're just sitting like, I'm supposed to help her out and she never calls me. So call, give spirit a call. Something will always answer the phone for you.
Now, what for our audience, the difference between the guides, the soul guides and the spirit guides and angels. I know what I do is my life has changed dramatically by saying, thank you, angels, for taking care of blank. And I've only started doing that for the last couple of weeks because I had another guest who works with angels. And I cannot believe the difference that it's made. So, what is
Really?
the role of, first of all, what's the difference between spirit guides and angels? And then how to best work with them in terms of the notion of gratitude before getting the answers.
Yeah, I'm not an expert in this area either, but I do believe that angels are at a hierarchy than the spirit guides are. Because the spirit guides have been in many of them have been incarnate before, and I don't believe that the angels have. And so it just depends on who you believe you're writing with. Mine will not identify themselves. And I've had a lot of people say to me that no, they won't give a name. They won't tell you who they are because to them that's not important. So I would think that the gratitude part of it, I always tell people at the end of a soul writing session, close your eyes, thank the source of your writing, whoever that source is, and then you can come back to the here and now. So I do the same thing that you do. I always thank spirit for providing me with this information. And I think having gratitude in all areas of our life is important, but I think it's especially important when you're getting this kind of high-level guidance.
Agree. Oh, Joanne, this has been such another fascinating conversation. Your
Thank you.
updated, you're welcome. Your updated edition of Soul Writing offers a practical roadmap for anybody looking to access deeper wisdom and clarity in their lives. For everybody out there, tell us about some of the classes you're teaching, how to get in touch with you, and where they can get your book.
Well, I'd love for them to come to my website, which is joannedimaggio.com. You could read about my upcoming speaking engagements. You could sign up for my newsletter, and it's a monthly newsletter that'll tell you what research projects I'm doing in case you want to volunteer for one of them. It has all my books listed. I just came up with a soul writing journal to go with the book. So if you want to actually have a journal that has some writing prompts from the book, you can see that. So you could book a session with me right on my website. So go to joannedimaggio.com, and the books are all available on Amazon.
Fantastic. Joanne, thank you so much for being with us on Guys Guys Radio. And to our audience, remember that you are more than your resume. You are more than your relationships. You are more than your circumstances. You're a soul having a human experience. Thank you, Joanne DiMaggio, for returning to Guys Guys Radio. We'll see you with your next book.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot, Robert. Bye-bye.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, another wonderful conversation with return guests and one of our Guys Radio favorites, Joanne DiMaggio. This is the revised edition of her book, Soul Writing, Conversing with Your Higher Self. And you know, soul writing can help you clarify earthly goals, and its healing qualities have a significant positive impact on those challenged by physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual issues. So it has lots of different uses and applications. The sacred writing that you create provides profound insights into understanding relationships, finances, careers, and friendships, and offers gentle guidance into that yearned-for state of forgiveness. As a transpersonal tool of attunement, soul writing enriches one's life beyond measure. So I think we learned today that soul writing is not automatic writing. It is a more of a connection with your higher self, which connects with your guides, which connects with Source, and helps provide answers and responses to questions you may have about so many different topics, whether it's about your current life, your relationship with maybe past loved ones, your past lives, whatever. It's up to you to determine what you want to ask. But first, foremost, what you've got to do is you got to get into the zone. So you have to meditate. You want to be a soul writer, you've got to be a meditator, because you want to get into that state of quietude where you can tap into the universal consciousness and get the information that you want to help you resolve your issues and your problems that you may have that started in this go-around or maybe a past life. So it's really fascinating. It's like anything else. Anyone can do all of these metaphysical gifts, if you will. Anybody can develop these talents. It's a matter of how much you can develop them, how kind of dialed in you are, and how you can kind of level up your ability to tap into universal Source. So in this particular case, in soul writing, you ask some you get into your meditative state, you ask a question to your higher self goes to the spirit realm and spirit guides, and they will go up right to Source and bring the answer back, and hopefully it'll get transmuted through the guides to your higher self, to you, and it'll come out through your writing. It's as simple as that. So give it a try, and start by learning how to meditate. Whatever you do, learn how to meditate, because particularly in these crazy times, you want to be meditating. So great interview, as always, with Joanne DiMaggio. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, Guys, finish first.